Thanks for watching today at wildwoodchurch.com. Now here's today's message.
My name is Al Knott. I am one of your elders here at Wildwood. And it's a pleasure to share the word of God with you today. Just might mention that Pastor Brian and his family are on vacation today and next week, so please remember them in your prayers, as you would. Jesus said to his disciples, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John 14:6. And Jesus says, if you know me, you know absolute truth. And knowing that absolute truth is going to set you free. We have remembered already this morning the ultimate sacrifice that many, many of our countrymen have paid so that we can be sitting here free to worship God. But Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. The very ultimate sacrifice, in that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, so that you and I can experience eternal life, so we can be set free from the penalty of eternal separation from God in the lake of fire, separated from the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And today, if you are here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have not been set free from the penalty of your sin by what Jesus did on the cross for you, I urge you, before this day is over, before this service is over, to make that decision to come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We're going to be looking at the life of a man who completely sold out to Jesus in Daniel. But I want you to keep in mind one thing while we look at the life of Daniel. We're going to be celebrating communion later on in the service. And there's one question I would like you to consider all during this time. The question is not, what is my relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it what I want it to be? The question I would like you to consider this morning is, my relationship with Jesus Christ what Jesus wants it to be? Think about that as we go along. If you have your Bibles, or if you would like to use the Bible in the pew in front of you or in this chair in front of you, it's on page 737, Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. I will be reading from the New International Version. The Bible you have out there is a little different, but it's the same. Would you please stand with me, if you are able, while we read the Word of God? Follow along with me as I read, please, being at Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you today thanking you for the freedoms that we have, thanking you that you have chosen this nation for our freedom. Thank you for the people who gave their lives that we could have this freedom. Lord, as we look into your word, I just pray that your name will be honored and glorified, that we'll see how Daniel said that serving you is the ultimate thing to do. Lord, we ask your blessing on this time together. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I have a confession I need to make to you today, Wildwood. You may not know this, but I am a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool, lifetime Chicago Cubs fan. I'm not the only one, I guess. Some of you may be asking yourself, why in the world would you put yourself through all that misery year after year after year? And I will be glad to tell you. It's because when I was growing up, I had a cousin who pitched for the Chicago Cubs. And all I heard growing up in my house was, your cousin Kenny did this, your cousin Kenny did that. And I wanted to be just like my cousin Kenny. However, God had different plans. I went to college. I played baseball for 3 years in college. And believe it or not, I was a 333 hitter. I hit one home run in 3 years. And I decided playing professional baseball was not going to be what God had in mind for me, even though my cousin Kenny was able to do it. But I wanted to emulate Kenny's life. I wanted to be just like Kenny. Some of you in here may remember the old commercial, "Be Like Mike." Okay, most of us in here never attained to that. But that's what I wanted. I wanted to be like my cousin Kenny. We're going to look at the life of Daniel today. Sermon, a godly man, a godly life. Daniel was a man that we could emulate. We could look at Daniel's life and say, I would like to be like Daniel. I really would. The prophet Amos said in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, for the Lord God, it's right up there. I should look around and read, but I can see it up there. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Daniel knew what Jeremiah had written. Now remember, we're talking here, Daniel and his three friends had just been brought into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And Daniel understood what was happening to them. Daniel chapter 9, which is Daniel's great prayer, right at the beginning of that, he makes mention of the fact that he understood from the prophet of Jeremiah that the captivity of Israel would last 70 years. He understood that. He knew what God had given to Amos, that God revealed his plans to Amos. God has done that for us too. If you have your Bible open in front of you, you have God's plan for your life right there in front of you. It's there, what God wants for you. Ultimately, it's there. And Daniel understood that. He also understood why the people of Israel had gone into captivity. Now Daniel, I believe if we look at Daniel chapter 8, or not Daniel 8, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, I think is the most important verse in the book of Daniel, because it says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Daniel knew what God wanted out of him as far as what he would eat. And the Babylonians sacrificed a lot of food to idols, and Daniel said, I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to defile myself. Now, Daniel was not a very old man at that time. He was a young teenager, maybe the age of some of you in here. And Daniel had enough knowledge of his Old Testament and had been taught enough by his parents that he understood he was not supposed to eat that if it had been sacrificed to idols. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He's a captive. He's putting his life on the line. But Daniel said, I know what God wants for me, and I'm not going to do this. In Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1, 2, and 3, we see what God has to say about this. He says, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Jeremiah the prophet spoke to all the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. for 23 years, Jeremiah is saying, I've preached to you for 23 years. From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, to this day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken persistently to you, but you have not listened. I hope that's not true of us. God has been speaking. He's speaking to us right now. Are we listening to what he has to say? And Daniel understood Jeremiah. He understood that the people of Judah, his people, did not listen to what God had to say. And so God brought in Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans to judge these people. We look at 2 Kings chapter 24 and verse 2. And by the way, we're going to go through a lot of verses today, so you need to listen really fast. All these verses, okay? I've got glasses, they get tinted. Some of you may have this problem, so I have to do this, but bear with me. And the Lord sent against him bands of the Chaldeans and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the Ammonites, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by his servants, the prophets. People of Judah rebelled. God sent people against them. Daniel understood this. So now Daniel's in captivity, and he's being taught and being prepared for service from the king. But he says, I'm not going to defile myself. I don't care what you say, what you put in front of me. I'm not going to do this. But how did Daniel know that this was what he was supposed to do? How did he know? Well, we can look over into the New Testament at some verses here. And I want to look at some. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Okay? It says, all scripture is breathed by God and is profitable. Well, that's 3:16. So we'll have to go back here a little bit on that one. Can we go back? Yes. But as for you, Paul is talking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So Daniel understood from the scriptures what God wanted. He had been taught that. We've just finished a series of lessons on family worship. Think back, how has your family worship time changed in the last 4 weeks? How has it changed? How much more important is God's word to you today than it was 4 weeks ago? Or is it less important to you because you say to yourself, I'm not going to do it. I don't have time, and you put it aside. And God is saying, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to spend time with you. And we say, no, I don't have the time. But Daniel's parents found the time. We don't have this verse on the screen, but you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it talks about Moses commanding the people, when you sit down to eat, when you get up, when you walk, when you go to bed, when you get up in the morning, talk to your children about what God has done. Talk to them. Daniel's parents did this. They were godly parents, because before Daniel was taken into captivity, he knew all this. He knew it. It wasn't something brand new to him that he started out doing. What does 2 Timothy 1:5 say? We look at that, talks about Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, then your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Paul was convinced that Timothy's salvation was real. Timothy lived that life. But Timothy's parents, especially his mother and grandmother, made sure that he knew this. Daniel's parents made sure that he knew this. They taught him God's word. And Daniel said, I am not going to compromise. I'm not going to defile myself with that. Daniel was an example, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was an example Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. I told you you got to listen fast here. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. We are to set an example for those around us. Tough question I ask myself, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I would do that when I was teaching. How many of you did your work or something like this? But a tough question I ask myself, how many of my neighbors around me know that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ? Does my life show that? Does my life show that? I remember one day, a bunch of us teachers, I taught junior high kids. Some of you may be junior high teachers. We all went through junior high. So we're talking around in the hallway after class one day, and the teachers are just complaining. I don't know why these kids do this. Now, I know all you young kids sitting here don't misbehave in school. You just don't do that. My mother was a school nurse. I could not get away with anything. In my math class in eighth grade, the math teacher was there, my desk was here, and my mom's desk was right behind me. All I had to do was turn around and look backwards, and my mom would be sitting there waving at me. I couldn't get away with anything. The teachers are saying, these kids don't obey. They don't do anything. They don't listen to me. They don't show any respect. And what are we going to do? I'm hearing this from all the teachers. And I listened to it for about 10 minutes. And then I make a statement. And I said, you know, I know what the problem is. The problem is what the psalmist said. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And in 10 seconds, I'm standing in the hallway all by myself. I just gave you the answer, folks. Why'd you leave? Turn back to God. God is the answer. Daniel knew this. Daniel's parents knew this. That God was the answer. He was an example of what they're doing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. There. God, Paul says, his divine power, Jesus, God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Daniel knew the word of God. He studied it, and God says his power is there. He's called us. He knows what we need. He's given us everything we need. Have you ever studied a passage of scripture and read it over and over and over and over again, and it just doesn't make any sense to you? It happens. It does. But take heart. God knows you want to know what it means. He will reveal that to you through the power of his Spirit. He'll lead you to someone who has maybe a little bit more knowledge or experience. He'll give you maybe the name of a commentary that you can check on. But he will, at some point in the future, make sure you understand his word. Because that's why he's given it to us. He's given us everything we need to do that. Everything that we need. It's very interesting how God works that way in our lives. He doesn't leave us alone. If you are a child of his, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God is not going to leave you alone. God has his word ready for you. All you have to do is ask. Open it and read. Nice thing about cell phones today is that most of them have the Bible on it. You can just punch in something and it opens it right up. So you're never without the word of God. Daniel didn't have that available to him. I don't know if he had the writings of Jeremiah available to him, but he knew what Jeremiah said because he'd studied it. He'd heard it. He'd listened when his parents taught him. And he knew what Jeremiah said, and he knew how he was supposed to live. If you read through the book of Daniel, one of the things you will not notice is that nowhere in the book of Daniel does God say, Daniel, here's how you messed up and you need forgiveness before I give you any of this stuff. Does that mean Daniel never sinned? No. But Daniel was so committed to following God that God did not include in this book anything that Daniel had done wrong, according to God's law. We know Daniel did it because you go to Daniel chapter 9, he spends the first 19 verses of that confessing his sin and the sin of his people. But God never says specifically, this is how you messed up, Daniel, get your life together. Daniel said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it. God set him apart from the earliest time. Now, a verse has come very popular here in the last 2 or 3 years. It's Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You'll see it up here on the screen behind me. In everything that we're going through here in this country and around the world, I have heard on newscasts and I have read this verse being spoken. Very interesting. This is what God says to Jeremiah. When Jeremiah probably was a young man, not much older than Daniel, early on in his ministry, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God says, Jeremiah, I've got a plan for your life. Before you were even born, I had this plan all worked out. I formed you. I made you a man, Jeremiah. I've got a plan for you as a man. And I appointed you as a prophet. And Jeremiah listened to God, and Jeremiah did what he told him. And because of Jeremiah's faithfulness to God, Daniel read Jeremiah's writings, and Daniel was convinced that God was the answer, and Daniel was convinced that obeying God was the only way to live his life. And that was the best way to live his life. Daniel was 100% convinced of that. And so was Jeremiah. There was no doubt in either man's mind that that's what God wanted him. No doubt whatsoever. One of the hard parts about living a life dedicated to the Lord is how much integrity do we have? When people stand up here and open the Word of God, people sitting out there where you are want a person of integrity standing up here. They want to believe that this person is a man of God who's going to do what God's will is us. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Let's look at that. It says, Paul is writing to Titus, a young pastor, maybe not much older than Jeremiah and Daniel at this time. And Paul says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. When I made that statement in front of those teachers, that the problem was there's no fear of God before their eyes, no one wanted to question that. No one wanted to talk about God. They all just walked away. And I was ready to share the gospel with them, but if I did, I'd be talking to the hallway and nobody else. They didn't want to hear it. But the Bible says, be ready. In your teaching, show integrity. Jeremiah was a teacher. Jeremiah stayed true to God. We read the verse earlier. For 23 years, Jeremiah preached the word of God. He didn't waver. I don't know how many of you have ever had a chance to preach or teach the word of God, but think about teaching the word of God for 23 years and no one says, yes, amen, I'll do it. 23 years, nothing. And he preached the same message over and over again. No results. People did not change at all. But he kept on preaching the word of God. He was a man of integrity, and so was Daniel. Daniel was a man of integrity. He listened to what God had to say. He did what was right. He did not defile himself. He said, I'm not going to do it. He put his life on the line for what he believed in, what God says. And the officials said, well, you know, you're making me commit suicide, Daniel, by not doing this. And Daniel says, why don't you just test us? Just test us. Give us vegetables to eat for the next 10 days. Let's see how things work out. And so the guard decided to do that. He said, yeah, I'll do that. Okay. And the Bible says at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his friends looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So some of the captives decided, we're going to do it the Babylonian way because we want to get in favor with the Babylonians. Daniel and his three friends said, we're going to do it God's way, even if we don't gain favor with the Babylonians. So we have to make a decision. Do we want to do it God's way? We might lose favor. Or do we want to do it the other way, to please someone, to keep maybe what we have, rather than saying, God, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future, and I know you want what's best for me. I'm going to do it your way. What we have to do is we have to come to a point in our lives where we say, I'm going to read the Word of God, I'm going to immerse myself in the Word of God, I'm going to study the Word of God, and on top of that, I'm going to share the Word of God with people, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is what I'm going to do because this is what God wants. We obey God. Samuel told King Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. It's not a good idea to sin and then sacrifice and ask for forgiveness. Obey God first and eliminate the sin and alleviate and, you know, the sacrifice. To obey is better. That's what God wants. He wants obedience out of us. Obedience leads to integrity. Daniel is a man of integrity. Daniel was different than these other young men. I want to look at two verses of scripture here. The first is Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. And this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And in these two verses, we get the reaction of the people after hearing Jesus preach this sermon. Listen to what the people had to say. These were unsaved individuals. They didn't recognize Jesus as Messiah at this time. This is what they had to say after he just taught them in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It says, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Jesus taught the people with authority, not as a scribe. The scribes were the educated individuals. Most of the people did not have the education the scribes had, and yet they recognized there was something different about this man Jesus and the way he taught than the way the scribes taught them. What was different about it? The difference was the fact that they were hearing the author of the word. Everything they believed from Genesis through Malachi, which is what they had, they were hearing the man who wrote it. That's what was different about him. And he was talking to them as one who cared about them, who loved them, who had unlimited grace and mercy for them, and not as the scribes. Not as the scribes. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, a verse that means quite a bit to me. Listen to what the apostle Paul has to say here. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter, it's Luke, I'm sorry, Luke. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, common men. Isn't that an interesting statement? These Peter and John, they were no different than everybody else around them as far as education goes. But there was something different about them. They understood that. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John were two men who had followed Jesus for 3 years. And the people recognized this Jesus who'd been teaching them, totally different than the scribes. Peter and John followed him, and they taught the same way. They knew they had been with Jesus, not only physically being with Jesus, traveling with him, but I think there's a deeper meaning there in the fact that they had committed their life to Jesus and the teachings of Jesus were coming out through them when they talked to the people. when these people heard and saw Peter and John teaching and preaching, they were hearing and seeing Jesus himself teaching and preaching. He made a difference in their lives. Daniel made a difference. How long had Daniel been a captive before he made the statement, I'm not going to defile myself, and yet the guard said, okay, I'll go along with you. God changed that guard's heart. But there was something in Daniel and his three friends' attitude and behavior that were different than what they had seen in the other men. And this guard said, okay, I'll go along with you for 10 days. I'll give you vegetables and water. That's all you're going to get. And we'll try you out for 10 days. Daniel was different. Why? Because Daniel had been with Jesus. Daniel had spent time in the Word of God. Daniel knew what Moses had written about family devotions. He was well aware of it. He knew what Jeremiah said about people and their attitude and relationship with Jesus Christ. The people thought they had a good relationship with God, but it was a relationship that they had manufactured. They were happy because they made the rules. But God says, I make the rules. What's your relationship as far as what I want? Remember the question from the beginning? What is our relationship? Is it where Jesus wants it to be? Not what we set up. What God has already set up. And Daniel was living that in the presence of these men. And they trusted him. Do our lives reflect that? There. If you have your Bibles, please open them. I just want to go back to Psalm chapter 15 and verses 1, 2, and 3. And I would like everyone to look at this because I want to encourage you to be people like this psalmist is going to describe here in Psalm chapter 15, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is what God wants us to be. Listen to what the psalmist says. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? This is tough questions. There's a requirements to come into God's house. There's a requirement there, according to these questions. And then the psalmist answers those two questions. Verse 2, he whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man. Look at what the psalmist says is the first thing. If you want to have a relationship with God, what's the first thing that has to happen in your life? You do what is righteous. How do we do that? How do we do what is righteous? There's only one way. Do it according to the Word of God. Let God live in you. Paul says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Immerse yourself in the Word of God, and God will look at you as a righteous individual. God will welcome you into his presence. You will be the kind of individual God wants you to be. And when we celebrate communion in a few minutes, you will have answered that question. What is my relationship with Jesus according to what Jesus wants it to be? Because you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you have immersed yourself in the Word of God, and God looks at you. And when God looks at you and me, does he see what we used to be? Does he see the sin that Jesus died for, that he washed away? If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, no. What does God see? He sees Jesus. That thought just blows my mind. That when God, the creator of the universe, looks at me, an insignificant creation of his that he formed, that he had a plan for before I was even born, and he's working all things together for my good, according to Romans 8:28, God sees Jesus. Isn't that something? He doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see my frailties. He doesn't see my infirmities. He doesn't see the arthritis I have in both knees, so it makes it hard going up and down these steps. He sees Jesus. And what did Jesus do for me? Jesus died on the cross. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so that I could spend eternity in heaven with him and enjoy his love, his grace, and his mercy, and totally miss not spending eternity in the lake of fire, separated forever from the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. That's what God sees when he sees me. And he sees the righteousness of Jesus rather than my sin. If that doesn't blow your mind about what Jesus has done for you and your relationship with God, I don't know what will. But that's what God has done for us. That's what the psalmist is saying, that God has made us righteous to dwell with him. Other things too, speaking truth, getting along with our neighbors. We all have neighbors at times do things that just aggravate us. My wife had a good friend of hers she worked with, and one of the favorite sayings of that lady was, "It just aggravates my soul to no end." And she would say that at the least little thing. Well, if you are a Christian, yes, people are going to aggravate us. And yes, we are going to aggravate them. But as a believer, what is our responsibility? We look past that aggravation, say that three times as fast as you can, and see Jesus, who died on a cross 2,000 years ago to cleanse that person from their sin. My wife likes to say that person is a pre-Christian, not a sinner, but a pre-Christian who needs to hear about Jesus. Daniel lived his life that way. The last thing I want to mention here about Daniel before communion is we find it in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Daniel now is living his life. He is now an older man. He is now serving under the third king in Babylon. First one was Nebuchadnezzar. Then we have Belshazzar. Belshazzar was defeated. In come the Medes and the Persians, and Daniel is serving under Darius, the Mede. And Darius is duped by these government guys saying, you know, no one should, for the next 30 days, no one should pray to any god except you. Why were they saying that? Because they were jealous of Daniel. For years, Daniel had been a man of integrity. He had a tremendous responsibility that God put him in charge of, and he fulfilled that responsibility, and he said, I'm going to live and do my work according to the word of God. And Daniel did. And these guys were so jealous of Daniel, they wanted to kill him. They didn't know that God had provided lions that knew Daniel and didn't want to have anything to do with him as meat. They were going to be his friends. But they said, make this law, and it's non-repealable. You can't get rid of it for the next 30 days. First thing Daniel did when he heard about that is the first thing we should do when tough times come into our lives. Daniel went home and prayed. And it said it was his custom to do. This was not anything new that Daniel did. He was used to praying. He prayed three times a day. These guys saw it, and they said, you got a Darius, you got to throw him in the lion's den. He violated the law. Darius understood what had happened to him, but he couldn't break the law. And he had Daniel thrown in the lion's den. Listen to what it has to say. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 100 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. That's how much responsibility Daniel had. How many of us would like to have that kind of responsibility? That the only person in the whole government that Daniel answered to was the king. He was responsible for everything else. Okay. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. That spirit was from God. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find the ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Daniel did his work so well through the power of the Spirit, they couldn't find any fault with him. It was done exactly the way God wanted it to be done. And so they conspired to have him killed. Well, we know the story. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. The lions weren't hungry. God protected him. Darius got him out the next morning, took all these officials and threw them and their family in. Now Daniel is free. The government has a lot of high officials that are gone. Daniel's got more responsibility now. But Daniel was true to the word of God. He did what God wanted him to do. He was faithful to God and his word. And God was faithful to Daniel. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Some of you, this might be your life verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. That's a tremendous verse because it asks for 100% total commitment out of you. In all your ways, make your path straight. All your ways. Everything we do, God says, be 100% committed to him. The psalmist says, delight yourself also in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That does not mean that if you want $1 million by winning the lottery, God will give you $1 million by winning the lottery. No, because that is the second thing from that verse. What's the first requirement? Delight yourself also in the Lord. Love what God wants for you, and what you will want is what God wants for you. That takes 100% commitment to that. Imagine Daniel, looking back now, I'm thinking about this. Imagine when Daniel first met Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, this big image, and he tells the wise men, tell me what the dream was, and I'll know you can tell me the interpretation. And they say, we don't know what the dream was. Nobody's ever known that. How can we tell you that? He says, if you don't tell me, I'm going to chop off all your heads, I'm going to ruin your houses, I'm going to kill your families. Nebuchadnezzar had a short fuse. But Daniel in his life had so much influence on Nebuchadnezzar that he asked for time, and Nebuchadnezzar granted it to him. And Daniel prayed about this. The first thing he did was not wring his hands and say, oh no, what are we going to do? I've never heard of it. God, you know the situation. Here it is. You put me here. You work through me. Now just imagine if Daniel and his friends had been sent off on a diplomatic mission when Nebuchadnezzar makes this proclamation. And Daniel's gone, nobody interprets a dream, and Nebuchadnezzar does away with all of his officials, wise men. Then along comes a guy who says, well, you know, that looks like a pretty good job. So the guy writes a letter. And he says, dear Nebuchadnezzar, I am interested. Let me read you what the letter he wrote. It says, I'm writing to you today because I am interested in securing a position in your court as a wise man. I understand the position might be temporary, might even be fatal, but I am willing to risk it. Would you want to do that? But God in his providence spared these men because of Daniel's faithfulness. We don't ever read that they turned to Daniel and worshiped Jehovah. But God had a plan for Daniel. And Daniel's faithfulness spared these men. As we come to communion time, I want us to think about that question. Is our relationship what Jesus wants it to be?
Hey, thanks so much for watching online. I hope that this message has inspired you to greater faith, has encouraged you, maybe convicted or challenged you. We're grateful to be able to provide this content to you online, live and on demand. If you haven't done so already, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube so that we can get this content right to you as soon as we upload it. But you know, we believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you need the body of Christ. You need the local church. And so if you're in the Quad Cities, let me invite you to personally join us in person for our gatherings on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 10:40. If you're not in the Quad Cities, I want to encourage you to go find a local church that teaches the Bible, that serves the community, that loves Jesus, that gives grace. Well, hey, thanks again for watching, and we hope that you were blessed.